Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. We're in the third wave now, my friend. There's lots going on.
Yeah.
Right? We talked earlier in the show about, the weird experience that people are having from an investment perspective and the investment community looking past COVID. But listen, as human beings, we're living the third wave right now.
And what people are hearing is what's happening on the streets,
right,
in restaurants, at schools.
Yeah.
They're hearing about hospitalizations, and they just get a small sliver of information about, yep, ICU. How many people are in the ICU? That's it.
That's right.
How many people passed away? How many people are in the ICU? They don't understand fully what's really happening in the ICU.
Yep.
And so that's why I wanted to bring our guest on, a reoccurring guest of ours, to talk about not only what's happening in the ICU, but when you're working in that environment, it kind of gives you an idea of where things are headed towards.
Yep.
So although it's a,
in the future, right?
Although it's a lagging indicator, it's also a leading indicator for what policy may happen. And
right.
So I wanted to bring on the show Dr. George Alvarez. He's the ICU doctor here in Calgary. Dr. George, welcome to the show.
Glad to be back. It's been a while. I think the last time we spoke, we were talking about legalizing marijuana, which seems like such a distant past topic.
Yes, it's been a long time that we've had you, and the topic has definitely changed and more in your back alley, literally, when it comes to what you're experiencing. And so let's talk about those viruses, the cases. Tell me a bit more about how this whole situation is impacting the third wave and your experience in the ICU.
There's a whole bunch of questions in there, so maybe I'll try to answer them one at a time. I will say I've been doing critical care for over 20 years of my career, and these last two waves have been the busiest I've ever been in my career by a long shot. Meaning when I show up to work, I do a week of work with another colleague as we alternate call. I have never seen the sickness level, the amount of patients, the intensity, and in particular, which I think scares most of us, is how much younger the patients are coming in with each sequential wave. It's pretty scary.
Okay, so we keep hearing about the race against the variants. Maybe give us an update as to what's happening right now in your ICU and what role the variants are playing.
You know, maybe not to reiterate what I'm sure lots of people are getting off their news feeds. I mean, it's well established now that the B117 or the UK variant is now the dominant strain. It is now accounting for greater than 50% of all new cases. I was actually on service when the very first UK variant came to the Peter Lougheed ICU. I remember being told about it and, you know, being, you know, awestruck, and this was in December. Now that's a common thing. We now assume that the variant is now the dominant strain, accounting for greater than 50%. So I think that's one point. The second one, you were asking about the vaccines and how it's affecting the variants.
Yeah, George, I'd love to get your take on vaccination, right? So just give us your take on should people be vaccinated. Maybe you can speak to some of the health concerns that we've had with some of those vaccines, and then ultimately, you know, when do the vaccines kick in to help us control, in your opinion, you know, the COVID?
Yeah, well, I'll certainly repeat what many of my colleagues have said, and Dina Henshaw does a very good job of doing that. There should be zero hesitation for the population at large to have a vaccine. I know that you're hearing and reading about, and it's certainly being highlighted, about extremely rare complications, in particular thromboembolic events or when their blood clots exist with these vaccines, but those are so exceedingly rare that they should not in any way impact people's decision to take the vaccine, because the consequence and the outcome of getting COVID-19 is so much worse than any adverse side effect. So I think that's one point, and I think that's been said many times, so I want to re-highlight that. Number two, I think people think vaccines are 100% effective. They are not. I mean, the literature clearly states that people can get the disease even without a vaccine. It's, you know, one of the reasons why vaccines change every year and we have to get the flu vaccine every year. It's because the virus is much, much smarter. Three, I will be surprised if we don't see another variant coming through. I know that there's three main variants that we talk about, but the speed with which this virus is replicating is almost impossible to believe. And you just have to think about, you know, a human. Like, we've kind of been organized for 10,000 years. We may have been around for 100,000 as we've evolved. We've dropped the appendix, but that's about it. Otherwise, we've essentially been the same, other than maybe a little bit taller because we have better nutrition. This virus in 1 year has duplicated itself probably in the billions to trillions of times, which is why variants are occurring. We as humans do not evolve as quickly as a virus. So we're going to see more variants. I mean, that's my prediction. And then the question that you asked about, well, does the vaccine going to protect us against the variants? Well, the science seems to think so, but we actually won't know that until enough people get vaccinated and we go through the next flu season, which is next November, December, January, which might be depressing for you guys to hear. But really, we will only know when enough of the population gets vaccinated, and then the next flu season comes, which COVID definitely will be the predominant virus in that.
So I've always said that individuals like yourself in the ICU is a lagging indicator of what's happening, but also a leading indicator of where policy may be taking place. Let's talk about the summer. Should we expect to be back into full swing, stampede, everything that we also saw during the summertime happen this summer?
I would be shocked if that's the case. You just have to look at the raw numbers. Anybody can go online and take a look at this. But a year ago, exactly a year ago in April, we had less than 200 cases. In May, we had less than 400 cases. We are certainly going to eclipse 2,000 cases per day in Alberta in this month. So we're already 10 times more than we were in the first wave. And then you guys all remember last summer. So the hangover effect of having so many more cases and then the trickle down of so many more cases means there are going to be more hospitalizations, which means there are going to be more ICU, which means they're going to have to cancel elective surgery and so on and so on. I cannot imagine that the summer will be anywhere near the last summer. We will have more measures or lockdowns hanging around for longer, because this just simply take longer to burn out.
Okay, I'm gonna put you in the hot seat just a little bit, Dr. George. How about all of the travel plans that people are making right now for the end of this year? You said something earlier about we've got to test this through another flu season. What's your prediction on everybody's fall travel?
Well, if you give me a hot tip on a stock, I'll certainly give you my. just kidding. So I don't think anybody should make any plans. I personally believe that you should make no summer plans outside of your own backyard. You guys read the papers just like I do. There is a very serious consideration that they will close interprovincial borders, and I could see why they would do that. I mean, the American border has been essentially closed for a year, and it just keeps getting extended. And now that our case rate is now actually worse than the states per 100,000, although our fatality rate is much better than theirs, I would suspect that administration will say, oh, well, we have our entire population vaccinated by, you know, the 4th of July, but you guys will not even be close. So we're going to keep the international border closed. And I'm fearful of what's happening in Ontario and what will be coming with us, that people will limit interprovincial travel as well. I would not be surprised if that happens.
Dr. George, we have to leave it there. Thanks very much. It's always insightful to get, you know, the input from somebody who sees this day to day, and we appreciate you taking the time with us.
My pleasure. Stay safe.
We've been joined by Dr. George Alvarez, who's an ICU doctor here in Calgary, and one of the guys that you never want to meet professionally. So
correct.
Good advice. We should heed it. But we still have to think beyond COVID.
Think about what he's saying. If there's further lockdowns, if there's less travel, if there's people are not going to be spending as much, that's an impact to people on the economy, their markets, their portfolio, and their lifestyle in retirement. We're going to talk about bulletproofing your retirement on Tuesday, April 20th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. to register.
Listen, people will be looking at their performance numbers year over year, and it could look pretty spectacular, but it could also spell doom. So stick around after the break. We want to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.